From KPFK, Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Award-winning investigative reporter and author of Homewreckers, Aaron Glantz, has published a new report in Reveal, examining a disturbing trend in housing, how, quote, America's cities are being bought up bit by bit by anonymous shell companies using piles of cash, and that all cash transactions have come to account for a quarter of all residential real estate purchases. The phenomenon is all the more disturbing because of a housing crisis playing out in cities across the country, leading to epidemic levels of homelessness. Aaron Glantz now joins me. He's senior reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, a two-time Peabody Award winner, finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, and his work has appeared in the New York Times, Chicago Tribune, PBS NewsHour, and more. And the full title of his recent book is Homewreckers: How a Gang of Wall Street Kingpins, Hedge Fund Magnates, Crooked Banks, and Vulture Capitalists Suckered Millions Out of Their Homes and Demolished the American Dream. Welcome to the program, Aaron.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Your piece in Reveal is called Unmasking the Secret Landlords Buying Up America. And I feel like I was just as outraged reading this piece as I was reading your book. So thank you very much for making me really angry. So let's talk about what it means when there are all cash transactions for housing. We're talking about residential property here primarily.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about the housing crisis, we have to not only talk about whether or not we have enough housing, but who owns the housing. And as you mentioned in your intro, we now have more than 25% of all residential real estate purchases in America are being made with cash. And when you look at cities like Los Angeles or the San Francisco Bay Area, that percentage even goes up. And a lot of the buyers of these homes with cash are not human beings. They are anonymous shell companies. We now have more than 3 million homes and nearly 13 million apartment units all across America that are not owned by human beings, but LLC, LLP, and LP shell corporations. And so as we, look at the buildings that make up our communities, whether they are condo towers rising downtown and bought up but half empty, or our suburbs where they were hit by foreclosures a decade ago, and now it seems like housing is incredibly scarce. And we ask the question, well, who owns all of these buildings? The answer can sometimes be a mystery.
So when you, as an investigative reporter, dug into this, you found these secretive companies named often with these, gibberish sounding combinations of letters and numbers, many of them just registered to law offices, so just to the attorneys presumably representing these companies. What did you find? How much were you able to find out about the secret landlords, if you will?
Well, this action that Reveal has taken this week, suing the Treasury Department to force them to disclose who's behind these shell companies, it grew out of the book that you mentioned, Homewreckers. I wrote in that book about this 1,500 square foot house in Southern California that had been owned by a family for 30 years, and 681 Benson Way in Thousand Oaks, just north of Los Angeles, three bedrooms, one bathroom, a small patch of lawn and a lemon tree out front. It could be anywhere, owned by anyone. And for 30 years, it was owned by this family. And then in the housing bust, it was foreclosed on by Steve Mnuchin's bank. And it was sold on the courthouse steps to a company called Colfin AI5 California LLC. And then Sandy Jolly, the person who had been living in this home that had been owned by her family, ended up paying thousands of dollars in rent to this shell company. And I wanted to know who the shell company was. And through meticulous research as an investigative reporter, I was able to trace this shell company back to Tom Barrack, who is Donald Trump's best friend, who introduced Ivanka at the Republican National Convention and planned the inauguration. And through my reporting, and as I wrote in the book, we were able to establish that Barrack had in fact bought up 30,000 homes all across America, from Los Angeles to Florida and Atlanta. Other journalists have done this with other landlords buying property through shell companies, exposing people like Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, and Sean Hannity, the Fox News personality, which The Guardian and The Washington Post unmasked as the landlord on more than nearly 900 properties across the American South. But each one of these projects, right, it's an incredible effort by an investigative journalist. And what we at Reveal are saying, the Treasury Department knows who's behind all of these LLCs. They've been collecting this information since at least 2016. And we think that they should share it with the public so that we can know who is buying up our cities.
So it's the specific agency within the Treasury Department that you cite, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, noted, you know, has reported on these purchases, but also noted that almost a third of these cash transactions could be suspicious. What does that mean?
Treasury Police, Treasury Department's police force, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, they're the people that I filed a Freedom of Information Act request with back in July. They denied our FOIA. Then we appealed. They denied it. I filed again. And now we at Reveal are going to court to try to get this vital information. They have been asking for this information of who's behind these shell companies for years because they're worried about money laundering, right? They're worried about foreign dictators in places like Russia, oligarchs from Asia or South America, parking their money in cities like Miami or Los Angeles, buying up real estate as a tax dodge to hide their money from their own people. And as they watch these cash transactions and get this information, they are flagging, as you mentioned, more than 30% of them as potentially suspicious. And so obviously this is a matter of great public interest, which is why we are asking for this information.
So why, if they're trying to get to the bottom of this, why is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network not releasing this information to you? Could it have anything to do with the fact that they're worried that those same reports, that same documentation could reveal American oligarchs, American billionaires like Tom Barrack behind these?
Well, I mean, first of all, they have to release the information to us. It's the law. That's why we're suing them. We have a Freedom of Information Act. We're not asking for any of their law enforcement information. You know, we all understand that law enforcement authorities have a right to keep some information secret from the public. All we want to know is something really basic, right? Who owns the building? Who's behind that corporate shell? I'll tell you, if you go to the courthouse, county courthouse in San Francisco, you want to know who owns my house, it's quite easy. It's me, right? You go to a mom and pop landlord owned building, it will easily track it back to the mom and pop landlord. So this is the kind of transparency that we used to have in America before all of these shell companies started buying up our homes and apartment buildings. So what the government is saying is they're citing this law from 1970 called the Bank Secrecy Act. But the Bank Secrecy Act was never meant to hold information like this secret. And so you do have to wonder, Steve Mnuchin, our Treasury Secretary, he owns property through LLCs. You know, Wilbur Ross, our Commerce Secretary, he owns property through LLCs. Sean Hannity, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump has about 500 LLCs.
So the fox guarding the hen house, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, so they have, they have to disclose their own LLCs when they take positions of government, right? But who says they're telling the truth on those disclosures, right? Maybe they're hiding something, or maybe it's just their friends, and their donors, and their networks. Their networks include a lot of people who own properties through these vehicles who have gotten used to having no sunshine.
The housing that is primarily owned by these secret landlords, is it individual homes or apartment buildings or both? Are they occupied or are they empty? You know, can you tell me a little bit, or how much is known about them? You know, are these a money-making scheme for these, or potentially the money laundering aspect where they just buy it up and, you know, have these empty apartment buildings sitting around with no one living in them?
Well, these are all of the questions that the public is wanting to know, right? And so as an investigative reporter, the first step is to identify the buildings and their ownership, right? Then once we know which buildings are being bought with cash, right, once we know which buildings are being bought by these LLCs and who's behind the LLCs, then we can start going to visit them, right? And that's why transparency is so important. You know, there are a lot of theories about why real estate has become so expensive and how home ownership has gone so distant for so many. And at the heart of it is that if you want to go buy a house, there in all likelihood is already somebody else who's cut the line in front of you and presented a wad of cash to the person selling it. And it's been plucked off the market before you've even had a chance to bid.
Right. And I mean, if you're an individual, you presumably have to go through a bank and obtain a mortgage because you don't have, you know, $200,000, $300,000 sitting around. But those people who do have that amount of cash sitting around are able to, as you said, jump the line and just buy them with all cash.
Yeah, or even buy a whole portfolio of homes, buying 10 or 20 or 30 homes at the same time. I was going on a walking tour in San Francisco where I live, and there was this one LLC that had bought up six different condos, I want to say, in one of the new apartment buildings, right? So yeah, I mean, it's a condo complex for rich people. So the fact that their Ferrari is parked in the parking garage is not that's surprising. But, you know, how many of those units are being lived in by rich people? How many of them are second homes for rich people? How many of them are just, you know, international oligarchs stashing their money but never showing up? How many of them are Airbnbs? You know, wouldn't we like to know the answers to these questions? So it starts by just knowing who bought it, right? Who's behind that corporate shell?
Aaron, do you see this phenomenon as yet another symptom of increasing wealth inequality in the US? I mean, we basically have billionaires, fewer and fewer people piling up more and more cash, sucking it all, vacuuming it all up from the bottom, and they are able to pour their billions into needs of, you know, into things that the rest of us need, like housing.
Well, the reason that I've been focusing on housing and real estate and home ownership, it's directly tied to the historic inequality that we have in America today. You know, the top 0.1% of people in this country has the same amount of wealth as the other 90% combined. And this is a ratio that we haven't experienced in America in 100 years, right? Wealth inequality is historically unequal in this country. And a lot of that has to do with the broken path to home ownership. You know, the home ownership rate in Los Angeles County is under 50%. The home ownership rate in America is near a 50-year low. And we spend, as Americans, most of us working people, about 80% of our money on essential like food, housing, transportation, clothing, medical care, right? Forget like going on vacation or sending our children to college. By the time we pay off these essentials, almost all of our money is gone. And of those things, the only thing that has any opportunity of gaining value over time is housing. Either we're going to make our greatest expense be a loan that we're paying back to the bank, where at the end of the day, we can own our house, have some equity, and maybe have comfort in our older years so that we can retire, or that money is going to go month after month to our landlord, and our landlord is going to be taking that wealth. And so now we've even reached another step in this equation, right, where There's been a consolidation amongst landlords. And now you're not just paying rent to somebody who's maybe a little bit wealthier than you or had a little bit savvier of an investment in real estate in your town when it was cheaper. You're out there competing against, you know, hedge funds or private equity firms with piles of cash, buying up your city with shell companies so that you never have a chance.
So this particular story, going back to these secret landlords that are buying up real estate, buying up residential housing in America, you're waiting for your FOIA request from the Treasury, aimed at the Treasury Department to come through. But in the meantime, what other means are there to determine, who owns these homes? Is there any kind of legislation in the works? I imagine that members of Congress ought to be as outraged about this as many of us are.
Well, first of all, I want to point out that America is way behind the rest of the world on this. If you live in most countries in Europe or Argentina or Australia or Russia or Ukraine, you can go online and look up who's behind the owner of any corporation or property in your country. They will have the jargon for this is beneficial ownership. Who is the beneficial owner of your building if it's owned by ABC LLC? And if we were in the Ukraine, we could go online and look it up. And this is
one Ukraine, this country that we're being told over and over again is one of the most corrupt in the world by Republicans.
Right. And that's why we can find the corruption. Right? Mm. Because there's information that they have to disclose, right? And so the corruption can be documented. And we don't have that here. So there is a bill that passed Congress this year with bipartisan support to increase the amount of disclosure to the Treasury Department so that the Treasury Department can know more about all of these shell companies and who's behind them. But under this legislation that passed the House, they would still not be able to share it. They would still not have to share it with the public. There's still no national effort that would require that these shell companies buying up property inform the public of who they are. But Congress is relatively ineffective and dysfunctional, as we all know. But there's no reason why this could not be tackled as well at the local level. Documents are recorded by counties. The state sets policy. And so I think this may be one of those issues where in the dysfunction of Washington, the states and local governments may end up taking a lead.
Aaron, when you have a situation where these secret landlords who are, you know, likely all these hedge fund companies own this much housing, what is the repercussion day to day for ordinary people, aside from not being able to build up equity, you know, through home ownership? You're also basically party to the whim of your secret owner who might, you know, just decide randomly that they've lost $500 million out of their $100 billion one place, so they need to raise rents in these massive homes that they own, massive numbers of homes that they own in order to make it up. You're essentially you have growing numbers, it seems to me, of people who are at the whims of these secret landlords.
Yeah, and I'd say the main difference is that there's no long-term relationship, right? There's no human relationship at all. And so one of the things that you see, I see it again and again, is lease agreements that put most of the maintenance responsibility onto the tenant. So the house that I write about in my book, Homewreckers at 681 Benson Way in Thousand Oaks, where Sandy Jolly, who had lived in this home for 30 years when it was owned by her family, ends up renting from the shell company tied to Donald Trump's best friend. Not only does her rent go up three times over 18 months, and she pays more than $40,000 in rent to this shell company over just 18 months, not only that, but the lease agreement requires her to fix the plumbing when it breaks. It requires her to fix windows when they break. And so they're pushing more and more of the responsibility onto the tenant. And part of this is that, you know, if Sandy were to move out and the windows would be broken, the plumbing would be burst, and the cost would be well over the amount of the deposit, right? Then all that damage could just become a write-off to this big company, or they could just dump and sell the house, or they could walk away in a way that a normal human landlord might have more of a relationship with the building and the community and the tenant. And, you know, in some cities where you have a building up of these LLCs, where you're not dealing with issues like gentrification and rising rent so much as blight and vacancies, you can come up with situations where some of the most blighted, most vacant property in the city is owned by shell companies, and the city wants to hold those shell companies accountable to make them fix up their property and fight blight and crime, but they can't even identify them.
Wow. Right, the traditional relationship, if you are a renter, between landlord and renter is a human relationship. It's a human interaction. It's something that, you know, helps keep society together, if you will. It's like it can be a sort of a part of a community. Aaron, where can people read the work that you've done in the article we were just discussing?
Yeah, so I mean, it's right on the front page of Reveal's website, revealnews.org. They can click through to the complaint and read themselves how we want to go about holding the government accountable for transparency on this. And if they're interested in the book Home Wreckers, I'm sure if they just Google Home Wreckers book, they'll find a lot of options at their own local independent bookstores.
And they can also watch the interview we did with you about that book on our website. Aaron, good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Aaron Glantz, senior reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. He's a two-time Peabody Award winner and a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. His work has appeared widely in the New York Times, Chicago Tribune, PBS NewsHour, and more. His book is called Home Wreckers, and we've been discussing his latest report in Reveal called Unmasking the Secret Landlords Buying Up America. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RUWithSonali.